Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I humble myself before you as the voice of God that will speak through me. I reverence and honor you, Almighty God. You are the God of all flesh, and there is nothing too difficult for you, nothing too difficult. So work through me, touch your children this afternoon, and those that are going to be listening to this message, let it be uniquely powerful and full of you, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord, I'm going through Matthew again in the Passion Bible, starting the whole New Testament after reading the Psalms and the Song of Solomon. And then in my regular reading, I'm in Timothy. So I've been reading Timothy. I love Timothy. If you think about, you know, Jack Hayford penning that Bible, the New Living, not the New Living, the New King James. And, you know, it's so awesome that they have all the notes in there, because you don't have to go study this commentary and that commentary. It's all right there. And Brian Simmons does that too. And I love what he's doing. I love what he's written. And he definitely has a revelation of the real love of God, the all-encompassing, powerful, loving God. So this message is mainly, most of it is from 1 Timothy 6, because that's where I've been. I've been meditating on, you know, I know that many of you are working and desiring to hear a deeper measure and a deeper way. So I'm praying that God will do that for you today, that this will be a launching for you to hear more and hear more clearly. There are people in the body of Christ that don't even believe that you can really hear God's voice, which I find very funny. Why would you bother being a Christian if you can't hear direction and unction from the Holy One? Anyway, last week he said something very clearly to me. He said, I'm standing with you. That's a pretty amazing thing. I'm standing with you. And then he asked me where I was dwelling. I was kind of meditating over a couple of days, Psalm 91, and it came up in a book I was reading, another devotional in the scriptures where I was in the Psalms. I hit 91 again, and he asked me, where are you dwelling? I said, I'm dwelling in you. And then he said to me, well, I'm dwelling in you. So I'm the Lord's dwelling place, and he's my dwelling place. But I love Psalm 91:1, that he who dwells in this secret place, and in this secret place is where you hear the voice of God. He who dwells in this secret place shall abide under the shadow, under Shaddai's shadow, under the shadow of the Almighty. Whoop! Okay, I guess I should drink some water. Anyway, this message is about gentleness. And I really went before the Lord and asked him, what do you want me to share about gentleness? You know, I have my own concept of what gentleness is. Well, God's concept is totally different than mine, which is pretty normal. So what is gentleness, and how is it connected to our walk? Gentleness, this is the definition. Praeotes, a disposition that is even-tempered, tranquil, balanced in spirit, unpretentious, and that has passions under control. So what I did when I started to read this verse was I memorized each and meditated for a couple of days on each of the words, and tranquil was the one that hit me the most. And I started to think about the pools. The pool of Bethesda, I started to think about the pools in the desert. I started to, you know, focus on the pool that is the living, breathing water of Christ. That is a place that I can dwell and come into that balance in my spirit and to be tranquil and even-tempered. I was talking to Sarah a couple of days ago about the kids, and apparently she screams and yells at them all morning trying to get six kids out so she can drop them off at school. And she said, I stopped screaming. And she had said something to me a while ago, which was very funny. She said, I don't remember you ever yelling, Mom. Doesn't mean I wasn't angry. I just learned to go for the spoon instead of screaming at them. Because you really learn that early if you're disciplining your children in the Lord. You learn that it's better to discipline them and talk to them about things in a mild way rather than screaming. Because it just gets you riled up and then they get riled up. Anyway, so she was saying on Thursday that, and I'm very quiet when my girls talk and my son because they're not my kids, so I did what I did and they're going to do whatever they feel the Lord is moving on them to do. So I'm very quiet. So she said, well, I stopped yelling. And I'm walking around saying to myself, I'm not going to yell. So I started thinking about the word tranquil. I'm not going to yell. So I looked at her and I said, well, you finally realize it doesn't work. She goes, you're right. I just ended up getting riled up. So she just points at the chart. Do the chart. That, you know, she has a chart, everything you're supposed to do. So that was a moment for me to think about being tranquil in everything. So I started to pray for her, of course, that she would be tranquil with her children. And I remember the four to seven. When they get home from school and they're all over the place, they got to do their homework. And then you got to get dinner on the table and your husband's coming home. And rah! And that time was the worst time for me, worse than the morning, because I was exhausted. And that's really the point. You're just tired. So I would pray for an hour before my kids came home so that I would be calm when they came home and I could really focus my attention and listen to what they said and be tranquil. But it was a work. It was a work in progress. And still is. So the word meekness is the same as gentleness, as it turns out. Meekness means power and strength under control. Whose power and strength are we talking about? We're talking about God's power and strength, not ours. In the natural, we really don't have control over our passions because we want what we want. Our own man wants what he wants. A person who possesses the quality of meekness and gentleness pardons injuries, corrects faults, and rules well his own spirit. Meekness is controlled power in his presence. An ability to move and operate within the confines of his kingdom with authority, power, and here's the key, full reliance on the Holy Spirit. Full reliance on the Holy Spirit. Totally under. You know, when God healed me over the last few days of something. It's like an old nature habit that keeps popping up, and I keep saying, Lord, I repent, and I fall into it, and I repent. And then he said, Maria, I'm going to heal you today. I said, okay, that's good. I want to wrestle with that. I'm tired of wrestling with that thing. So I just sat with him. He said, I just pulled the root out. Because in his presence, your flesh cannot, you understand me? Your flesh cannot, you're either going to walk in the spirit or you're going to walk in the flesh. There's no middle road. The middle road is probably the screaming place. Anyway. But I saw the flesh come. I saw the flesh come under the spirit. That's what I saw. I saw that part of me that moves in that pattern just come under the presence of the Lord, and it's gone, totally gone. And I will continue to walk in that. So power, this power that we're talking about, this gentleness is from God. It is God. It's part of his nature. We here talk about God being good because he is. He's good and kind and gentle and beautiful. So the power is Kratos. Dominion, strength, manifested power, his kingdom authority, dominion, and majesty. Here's another scripture in Psalm 18. As I was sitting there, the Holy Spirit said to me, "My gentleness has made you great." I said, "Oh, where's that?" So I Google it and I find it. It's right in the middle of Psalm 18, which happens to, I mean, I love all the Psalms, but Psalm 18 is always a warrior, you know. I'm going after it and it's not going to control me and blah, you know, kind of psalm. So right in the middle, this is what he says. "You have also given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand supported me, and your gentleness has made me great, or kept me, or caused me to increase and multiply, or kept me safe." How many of us want to be safe? We want to be safe. I want to be safe. Gentleness in this portion of scripture is loving kindness, care, which is compassion, Pastor Roy shared last week, humility, meekness, and power. So our identity and our destiny, our inheritance from the gentle one, this gentleness is part of his inheritance. He has created us to reign. He has created us to be his bride. He has created us to have an intimate communion with him so that we can reign and we can overcome whatever comes into our life. But we do have to fight. You can't just sit back. The devil is alive and demons are real and they will come after you and they want to destroy you. That is the truth. Again, there are Christians who do not believe in the devil and they don't believe in demons and they don't believe in deliverance and inner healing. Oh, it's once saved. But where's all the work, the progressive coming into maturity, if it's just once saved, always saved? There's more of God. And when we get to heaven, we will still experience more and more of God. So it doesn't ever end. That's why each one of us, wherever we are right now, we're going to increase as we seek him. As we seek him. So we have to fight the good fight of faith to receive it. We have to actively engage in it. We have to live in it. We have to activate it. We have to embrace him where we are. Embrace him, acknowledge and practice his presence. Yes, God is here with me. I know he is. What's going on? Where are you? That's what I asked him all the way back from the eye doctor. I was stunned and he just said, "I'm not taking you out of commission." That's basically what he said. So why does God heal us at different times and why doesn't he heal us every time? I don't know, but I believe it's always his desire to heal. Always. So that's always my first prayer for him to heal. So in 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, "Fight the good fight of faith." Oh, what kind of fight is it? It's a fight of faith. And what is faith? Hebrews 11:1 says, "It's substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So that faith is in an unseen realm. And the unseen realm was the secret place in your heart. This is a chair. So you put your faith in something. When I met Jesus on the beach and he slaughtered me, from that point on, my thinking started to change and my viewpoint started to change and I started to read the Bible with the fervency and believe it. And what I was seeing with these eyes was nothing like what was going on in the scriptures. But I had faith because God had visited me. And then I knew he was alive. But see, what are you putting your faith in? Are you putting your faith in your feelings? Listen, feelings come and go, man. Don't put your faith in your feelings. Don't put your faith in your thinking, and don't put your faith in your body, because today you could say you could feel wonderful, and tomorrow you could feel horrible. And today you could be saying, "Oh, I'm loved of God, and I'm the beloved," and tomorrow you could say, "Oh my God, look at you, what happened to you?" And who is that old lady in the mirror? My mirror says, "You are loved." My daughter put that on there. So anyway, this is a chair, okay? Pretend this is the Word of God. Now I'm putting my faith in the Word of God and what God has said, and I'm sitting down. And the chair is holding me up, right? If you don't believe in the chair, you're not going to sit in it, are you? We believe in chairs until they're broken. So, we have to exercise our faith. You have to exercise your 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 faith. And you get to choose what you believe in. You get to choose how things look. Not all that emotional brouhaha that's stirring inside of us sometimes. But what are you looking at? What is God saying about the situation? That's the truth. That's the truth. We have to contend. So 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I love Timothy because Paul trained him. Paul, who wrote all of these books of the New Testament, and he trained him well. There was a point when Timothy got called and laid hands on. Paul laid hands on him, and the elders of the church laid hands on him, and they prophesied over him, and they spoke words of faith over him. So when he got into trouble, or he came into a situation that was difficult for him, he remembered those words. I have all the prophetic words that were spoken over me. I have them listed on my computer. I have them on CDs. I have them on tape, some of them, because they were so long ago. I remember Nita Johnson telling my husband and I, oh, you think you just worship leaders? And she started to laugh. She actually laughed. No, you're pastors. I was like, I'm not a pastor. Look who I am. That was a long time ago. I still have that CD. No, it's a tape of her prophetic word. And I speak and declare them over myself because they were from the Lord. Faith is the substance, the substantiating, the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things hoped for, the evidence, the conviction of being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So how do we exercise our faith? We put our faith in something we all do. So that's our strength. So we take that faith, that strength, and we put it in something. You either put it in God or you have it wandering around in yourself somewhere. Wait on the Lord. Rely completely on Him. Focus on Him. Surrender constantly and be aware. Be aware. If you put faith in God, you get God's results. And if you listen to him talking to you and he gives you instruction, it'd be a good idea if you obeyed it. Faith, the leaning of the entire human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence. Now, I just want to talk a little bit about rest because the Lord has been talking to me a lot about rest. I didn't even realize how sometimes my body is like, I didn't even realize, like, whoa, what's going on? I'm listening to the news. I'm driving. I'm listening to the news on the way home, and they're talking about the traffic in the city, and I just, like, I could feel it, like, and I said, what are you doing, Marie? Turn that off. It's not worth it. There's TV shows I won't watch. There's things I won't read. There's places I won't go. I want to live in the rest of God. So whatever the rest means to me, I'm going to stay in that place. I want to be in that rest. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. And it's not about the scriptures. It's about sitting in His presence and waiting. Waiting on Him. Because that's when He opens up the scripture to you. That's when He shows you what He's doing. That's when He gives you one of the gifts, word of knowledge, prophetic word, healing. That's when all those gifts start to move. And you can't really display the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5:22. You can't really do that without him. And one of those gifts is gentleness, meekness and gentleness being the same. So one of the gifts that God is giving us, and one of the fruits that he's given us, is gentleness. So rest is the key to winning the fight. What? Yes. Because in that place of rest is where you hear what God is saying. And when God tells you something, then you have confidence to confront or go forward into whatever it is that you are involved in. Gentleness and rest. Gentleness is the entryway, and God is very good, because I was sitting there yesterday and I was thinking about gentleness, and he said, go on Graham Cook's message on rest. So I did. I went on it, and this is what he said. Gentleness is the entryway to his peaceful presence. It's his gentleness. It opens our hearts to self-control. Because Pastor Roy's been talking about stepping back. Don't just react. Step back. Respond. Choose to respond. You don't have to jump in there and take care of some situation. You can stop by and say, what are you doing here, Lord? What do you want me to do? I have a couple of situations in my periphery that are very difficult. And I'm choosing not to engage in it, which is difficult because now my entire family is involved. But I have to take a step back and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? I cannot move and be the savior, which is what I would normally do. That's my normal inclination. I have a heart of compassion for people who are suffering, and I'm right there. I want to pray for them and take care of. And the Lord is saying, no, that's not what you're supposed to do in this situation. So for me, it was a test in patience for me not to jump in and take care of the problem. And it's a pretty serious problem. So this is what he said. It leads that opening of our hearts to self-control leads us to surrender and soft-heartedness. And that's really what we want. We want to be surrendered to him and be soft-hearted. We want to add to the kingdom our little part that's going to bring tranquility to those around us. Because the world is running around like chickens with their head cut off. So we don't want to be engaged in that. So we need to step back and rest in him. And the chair is a good example of just sitting back and resting, listening. And you know, if your mind is going a million miles an hour, find a scripture or a verse or just the name of Jesus to focus your attention on until everything gets quiet. And it may take a couple hours. What? Yeah, well, it might. But it's worth it, because at the end, you hear God. At the end, even if it's one word, tranquil, rest, it's worth it. Come unto me. Come up here. Come unto me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek, gentle, humble, lowly of heart. If you don't come to him, you will not receive the rest. Are you hearing me? You need to come to him. You need to turn to him. You need to focus on him. You need to turn, wait, focus, listen, and leave this behind you. I do want to tell you that sometimes that chaos is from you, and sometimes it's from that enemy that wants you dead, sick, and out of control. But God comes to bring rest. He's faithful. We need to rest in the partnership with him. And we can also bring that tranquility wherever we go. Bring that rest. His presence excludes negatives. There's nothing negative. Are you listening? There's nothing negative in the presence of God. He is all good, all amazing, all encompassing, loving. So if your mind is on a negative spiral, you can bring it back into that rest. Because that rest is ours. Because God bought it through the blood of his son. Satan and all of your minions, I command you right now to leave these situations that I find myself engaged in. And I command you to go back to the presence of the king in the throne room to be dealt with as he chooses. So that prayer is saying, I don't have to deal with this. God already dealt with it, and he's going to deal with it. I see them, they fly. And then, Jesus Christ, I submit to you. You are the Son of the living God. You are my Savior. You are my helper. You are my peace. You are my refuge. And the blood of Jesus cleanses me. The blood of Jesus cleanses me, cleans me, eliminates the chaos. The blood of Jesus, through communion, the blood of Jesus, through the reality of the blood of Jesus. If you think about, I had a whole meditative focus a couple of weeks ago on the actual bloodiness of Jesus and what happened to him. And then a couple of days later, we watched, you know, Jesus Christ Superstar. And I mean, what happened in this play was not even close. It wasn't even close to what Jesus suffered. I mean, you think about it. He was a pulp. They didn't even recognize him. And he was naked, folks. He was exposed and naked. And he had that moment at the end where God poured out upon him everything that we were supposed to carry. And what a beautiful, beautiful gift of love that he gave us. A life, a new life. A new life. He died for us. That doesn't make any sense to this mind. But in my heart, I just cry. I thank you, Lord, that my old man is nailed to the cross. Romans 8, 2 to 6. I wasn't going to share this, but this is something the Lord gave me, and it actually fits into the whole message. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. I am governed not by the standard according to the sinful nature. Oh, what is that? Your old man, your old habits, all of that failure. You can't fail when you're in God. Because he will direct you to succeed. Because he loves you and he will grant you favor. In whatever situation you're in, if you ask him what to do and where am I and how can I eliminate this situation and I need a solution to this problem. My neighbor, this sounds very silly, but my neighbor, I don't know which one it was because so many people living in that house, they decided to throw all these apples on the side of their yard. God only knows why. I mean, big apples, all different colors. And of course, a couple of them ended up in my yard, and then my dog is running through the bushes, which he's not allowed to do, because there's apples over there. So I got it, bear, bear. I hear him out there, bear, bear, come back. So one day, I'm out there, and there's this one apple over there. So I climb up on the side there, and I pick the apple up, and I throw it back to the neighbor's yard. An hour later, I come back, and it's back. So I'm like, go up again, climb up, take the apple, throw it over the net. I mean, it's their apple. It's not my apple. I didn't even want to touch it. You know, I can wash my hands. Anyway, I go back out there again. apple is back on the yard. And it wasn't the dog because he was in the house. So what did I say? And this sounds so silly, but you use it in every situation you find yourself in. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do with that apple? He said, just throw it away. So I go over and pick up the apple. I throw it in the garbage. Go in the house, wash my hands. I still don't know whose apples they were. Yesterday, there's a green one in my yard, half eaten. And the dog's running over there, trying to bear's trying to chew it, you know. I said, give me that apple. He brings it out. I just picked it up and threw it in the garbage. You know what? I don't know what was going on with the apples. But you know what? It doesn't really matter. The lesson that I learned was, just throw it in the garbage. Maybe they were feeding the deer. That's what we were like. Maybe they're feeding the deer. No, they don't want the deer in their yard. Maybe they're feeding the raccoons. No, they don't want raccoons in their yard. Well, they're definitely feeding the water rats. Oh, we don't want water rats in our yard. No. Well, maybe the fox. Maybe the fox. You know, who knows? Somewhere down the line, we'll find out whose apples they were and why they ended up in the yard. But you know what? You think about it. How are we responding to what happens in our lives? I mean, what was another response I could have done? Put it in a bag, walk over there and say, knock on the door. Whose apple is this? And what is it doing in my yard? Right? Couldn't I? If I wanted to. That wasn't in my wheelhouse. Okay. Those who are living according to the sinful nature, I don't know where that came from, have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Colossians 3:2 says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. You know, here's the whole point. 1 Timothy 1:5 says it very nicely. The whole point, oh, you read the scriptures for instruction to get filled, to get encouraged, to figure out how to act in particular situations. Lord, what do you want me to do in this situation? The whole point of what we're urging, this is Paul to Timothy, is love. It's simply love. Love, thank you, Lori, uncontaminated by self-interest. See, the flesh wants what it wants. And counterfeit faith, no, real faith, a life open to God. Love has a name. Love has a name, it's Jesus. When you come into that place of rest, when you come into that place of waiting on God, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's a promise from the Lord. That rest that we come into creates a relational cycle. Creates a relational cycle with God. See, because we hear what he's saying. I take God shopping with me. He gets me the best bargains. And in my small amount of money that I have for groceries every week, he gets me a bountiful, full refrigerator. Finds me bargains that... And every time I do get a bargain, I figure it out what it would have cost, and I say, thank you for that amount of money. Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. So... That rest, you're listening, it creates a cycle. It begins to create a cycle of relationship with the Holy Spirit. And you know what? Sometimes you don't want to talk about what God's telling you because people may think you're a little wacky. But you know what? Some people are saying things of what they're going through, and they're really wacky. So I remember working at Radio Shack, and they had all this heavy metal music on that was just, like, annoying. So the next day, I brought in my scripture memory tapes and played it. Well, if you're going to play that, I'm going to play this. And he didn't like that, but he really couldn't, you know, I was working there, he was working there. So then I said, you know what, tomorrow I'll bring in some nice, quiet instrumental music. Will that be better? Yeah, that'd be good. So I did that. But we have to confront. We got to fight sometimes. Turn off those things that are troubling us. Don't feel like there's something wrong with you. There's something right with you when you don't want to be sitting in chaos. There's something right with you when there's all this going on around you and you withdraw into the bathroom and pray in tongues for 15 minutes. Whatever you got to do, guys. Get back in under the grace balloon. Here's the same scripture, 1 Timothy 1:5. Whereas the object and purpose of our instruction and charge is love. That love which springs from a heart and a good, clear conscience and sincere, unfeigned faith. The leaning of the entire human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence. I'm going to give you some instruction about what to do. We want to build a treasury in our hearts. We want to build a life that's focused on God. I see a lot of people spiraling, running off the rails. You know, they haven't taken any time to build a life in God. And then I see the ones that are taking the time to build their life in God. And I see peace and tranquility and control and an ability to step back into His grace as we're progressing, to choose His way rather than our way. We are to flee these things and pursue the true riches in Timothy. It talks about fleeing the love of money, which is the root of all kinds of evil. And that whole, I don't have time to go into that. Maybe one time we'll talk about it. But I just felt to focus on pursuing the godly things. His nature, His true riches, righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. So what do you want your life to look like? I was remembering, today is Aaron's birthday. He is 31. And he's launching his newest album, which is, we got to hear it first, which is pretty awesome. Really, really good. Anyway, I was thinking about, they used to watch The Lord of the Rings, you know, my kids. I watched it one time and that was enough. You know, I watched all the different, I read the books a million years ago. Unfortunately, fortunately, at one point they ended up in the fire with all the rest of the stuff that I burned. But you know, where you are at the time is what you have to do. So in the meantime, I did watch each episode. And it was, for me, because I have such a vivid imagination, and as a seer, I do see things in the spirit realm. When I see some of those creatures, I said, yeah, those are demons, all right. like, ugh, because they're ugly. Anyway, I remember Aaron being so enthused about this one point in one of the movies where Gollum was, or maybe it was Bilbo. Bilbo was who he was, and then he turned into this wicked thing. I was thinking about the spirit and the flesh, because sometimes I'm that wicked thing. Am I the only one? Oh! Because I've been meditating and focusing gentleness, I'm so aware when my ire starts rising. Why are you aggravated about that? Well, I'm not really aggravated. I'm just tired. So I'll go sit on the couch or what, you know, whatever. But it has to do with being aware. Anyway, he was like I went back there one day. He was living at the house at the time. And he kept putting this on, you know, seeing. I said, what are you doing? You're putting that horrible thing in your face and in your head all the time. And he's looking at me like, and I realized that it was adrenaline rush. That fear was an adrenaline rush. Sometimes, I mean, I really never liked watching scary movies, but some people like watching scary movies because it makes them alive. You know, I was like, whoa, you know, heads flying and all that. I don't like all that. But I was thinking about it this morning. I was thinking about that movie, and I may even say something to him. I don't know. We'll see. It's just very funny because you really get to choose what to put your attention on, don't you? We get to choose. What do we want to focus on? I went out so many times yesterday just to be outside and help my husband with the trees and do all these things. And then at the end of the day, I said, oh, I'm going to go out again. It was freezing. Yeah. I was like, so different. I said, whoa. I said, all right, I'm not going outside again. Too cold. Went back in the house. But that's how it is sometimes with us. You know, we're hot and cold. We're like, yeah, and then we're, whoa. Anyway, I like the whoa party. Not that I don't. Anyway, I'm just going to, I have just a few descriptions of some of these words that are in 1 Timothy that are true riches. They're spiritual in nature and they're God's nature. Righteousness is right standing with God. True goodness. Godliness is the loving fear of God and being Christ-like, displaying his goodness. A righteous life is a life of wonder, faith, love, steadiness, and courtesy. Ooh. And then I did meditate on this scripture for a couple of days. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Because sometimes we're not content. We're not content where we are. So we have to find out where that godliness is so we can come back and focus on being content. That's 1 Timothy 6:6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Some people, when they're pursuing godliness, they think that it's a gain in the riches area, but it's not. It's a gain in the spiritual area. Philippians 4:11-15. Not that I speak in regard for need, for I have learned. Again, practice. I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. Content is satisfied. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. And here's classic. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ. You got to go through the door. Go through the door. I can do all things through Christ. I was listening to a message yesterday, and the Father is over here, and there's a door into his presence, and he's whispering, and we're on the other side of the door, and we just go right in. Or he's whispering, and we can't hear because there's all these things in between us and the door, our flesh, our wants, our desires, our needs, our this, our that, our worries, our troubles, our concerns, our family, our illnesses, whatever it is, it's in the way. And then you got to plow through all of that to get. You want to just clean that. This is what the Lord's been, for a month, he's been saying, keep it clean and clear. Clean and clear. Because blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's the end of all of it. We want to see God, don't we? We want to see him. And I don't mean necessarily with your spiritual eyes, hear him. Look at his word and say, oh, there he is. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And meditate on that until it becomes a reality. It doesn't happen. Sometimes, but most of the time, it's meditate, ruminate. You know, the Jewish guys standing at the wall, they're davening, kiabuti. They're not doing that. But they're saying, meditate on all these things. Meditate on, blessed are those. Blessed. What does blessed mean? It's a little further down. Contentment does not come from how much money we have, but from the freedom that results from understanding that we are living in God's provision. 1 Timothy 6:6-7. We are living in God's provision. Whether we're working or we're ministering and living by faith, trusting God. We are living in God's provision because we are in his kingdom. And in his kingdom, there is full provision. And it says, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content, satisfied in a state of peaceful happiness. So here, the true riches. Love. 1 Corinthians 13:4-5. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Oh, there it is again. It keeps no record of wrongs. I remember when God opened that up to me. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love keeps no record of wrongs. That means that whatever has happened to you, even 5 minutes ago, Pastor Maria, I didn't like what you said. Well, you better forgive me, because otherwise you're keeping a record of a wrong, even if it wasn't a wrong. In your feeling and in your interpretation, that was a wrong. You can put your name in there. Rory is patient. Rory is kind. Marie does not envy. Lori does not boast. Martha is not proud. Liz does not dishonor others. Rudy is not self-seeking. Pat is not easily angered. And Mike keeps no record of wrongs. Put your name in there. Who are you? Are you acting and moving in that, in your life? You actively engage in the spirit realm when you do these things. Patience, the quality of being patient. As the bearing of provocation, annoyance, misfortune, or pain, without complaint, loss of temper, irritation, or the like. An ability or willingness to suppress restlessness or annoyance when confronted with delay. Oh, that's a good one. I remember Ariel was talking about this last week. She said, you know, I remember I used to have that restless leg syndrome when that came out. I mean, I actually laughed. Restless leg syndrome, come on. And then she told me, I have restless leg syndrome. I said, you do not. And then she's sitting there, her legs going. I said, stop that. Well, it happens when I'm laying down. So, this is very funny, but she was sitting there the other day. She says, you know, I realized I really didn't have restless syndrome. I said, really? She said, I was eating a lot of sugar. And when I laid down, my legs were... So I don't do that anymore. I don't take any sugar after 6 o'clock. And my legs are fine. But, I mean, she was a teenager when she was telling me that. No, no, you don't. But see, we do things to ourselves sometimes that creates physical situations. So we have to look at that. Yes? Gentleness, praotis, again, a disposition that is even-tempered, tranquil. I love balanced in spirit. Unpretentious. And that has passions under control. Again, you also gave me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand supported me, and your gentleness has made me great. Psalm 18:35. If anybody tells me that they don't know how to live, that there's no rule book, best way to live. Oh, really? Oh, yes, there is. Oh, there's no parenting manual. Oh, yes, there is. Come on. If you read the Bible, you'll find what you need. You'll find the answers you need. You may not like them because your flesh... Listen, it is difficult to train your children in the ways of God. It is a task, and it's difficult. I remember, I'm glad I'm not doing it now. But I did it, and I know I did it well because I was leaning on the Lord. Not that I didn't make any mistakes, and not that there were repercussions of some things that I moved in. Maybe I was a little too strict in one area or a little too lenient. But I did what I could do at the time with the presence of God that I had, the understanding of who He was in my life. I did not raise my children to be my friends. That was very early on, not what I was looking for, and before God. I didn't want to do what my mom did. Not that she wasn't loving or kind or any of those things, but she did not discipline me, and I was a wreck, and I did not understand. My kids knew. But I asked the Lord when I was carrying Sarah to help me, and He did. And He gave me instruction, and He put me in touch with this woman, and it was just very difficult, and I was much more strict with my children than most people, even Christians that I knew. And a lot of Christians that I knew gave me bad advice. So be careful who you're listening to. listen to the Holy Spirit and obey him. And do what he tells you to do. Because I trained my children to be followers of God and worshipers of the Lord. And I am still praying that they would continue to be followers of God and worshipers of the Lord. They're adults and they're choosing and not choosing and doing and not doing. Not my problem anymore, but I'm praying. I'm continuing to stand on what God gave me and the foundation that I built for them, that God, Pastor Roy and I built for them in God, is still standing. Our new identity is found in righteousness, peace, purity, gentleness, meekness, which can only come from the Lord himself, his nature and character. We can rest in his essence, be calm, content, godly, and gentle as we humble ourselves before him. 1 Peter 5:6, looking to be totally reliant on his grace and mercy. It was very difficult for me to raise my children in the way that God chose for me to do. But I'm glad I did, because I have a pure conscience. I know that I taught them about the Lord and made my home a place of worship. Matthew 5, let's look at gentleness in another portion of Scripture in the Beatitudes. Matthew 5, blessed are the poor in spirit, the humble, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This total reliance on God is the doorway into the kingdom realm. Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. So what do we get when we're gentle and meek? We inherit the earth. Jesus is saying that when you claim nothing is yours, everything will be given to you. It is an absolute exchange. Makia implies being gentle and flexible and meek. Psalm 37:11, but the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. So here's the definition of blessed. Enriched, happy, fortunate, delighted, blissful, content, blessed. The word blessed, tuahon, great happiness, prosperity, abundant goodness, delight, bliss, blissful. Are we blissful? We can be. Tuahon means, here we are, this is the end of the message. To have the capacity to enjoy union and communion with God. That's what it means. That's what blessed means. In Matthew 5:3 says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Mourn, grief, or waiting. In the Aramaic, the Aramaic is neth bayun, which can mean, here we are, you ready? To see the face of what or who you are longing for. So what or who are you longing for? You know, sometimes when you sit with the Lord and you start to tell him what you want, I don't know, sometimes the Holy Spirit's like right here, really? Oh, I guess not. I want to see you. Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Then our eyes will be open to see more and more of God. So how do we see more and more of God? By embracing what is written in 1 Timothy 6. Aramaic for see is nazon. They see God, or they will see God. In the Greek, they will progressively see God. Progressively see God. Psalm 17:15, as for me, I will continue beholding your face in righteousness, rightness, justice, and right standing with you. I shall be fully satisfied, content, when I awake to find myself beholding your form and having sweet communion with you. That's my heart. Isaiah 57:15 is a promise to each one of us who are seeking to see the Lord wherever we are. For this is what the high and lofty one says. He who lives forever, whose name is holy, I live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble. When we stay in communion with the gentle one, we live in continuous revival. We live in continuous revival. We see him. We choose to see him by walking in the spirit. His word in Psalm 18 says, My gentleness has made you great. So, Father, we want to see you. We want to see you in every aspect of our lives. We want to embrace you. We want to experience you. We want to understand what you're doing and obey you. Father, we want to obey you so that we can have this life of gentleness and contentment, that we can be in control and tranquil. We want to be in that place, Lord. We want to be able to express your love. All that is in 1 Corinthians 13. We want to express that to those that are around us. We want people to see you. We want to see you. So, Father, show us your face. Show us your face, Lord. Show us your face, Father. You have not made this so difficult, even though our flesh feels that it's very difficult. You have made it easy because your yoke is easier. And your burden is light. We need to come to you. And come maybe more often than we are. Come to you, turning to you, receiving. You have given us another helper. You have given us the Holy Spirit, who is the same as Jesus and the same as God, who speaks the same words to us. So I thank you that you are with us, Holy Spirit, that you are helping us to be all that we can be. In Jesus' name.